Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Thursday. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show with everyone.
Dr. Ray Pritchard's in KC, Kansas. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, it's another beautiful golf day up here, Tim.
Gotta quit tempting me.
Look, there's not a cloud in the sky, blue sky, maybe 80 degrees today, so it's not too bad.
Ah, that sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. Fred Jackson's with us. Good morning, Fred.
Pretty nice day here, too.
Yeah, it was 67 when I walked out to my car to come to work this morning.
Yeah.
It felt like a fall morning.
Yeah, feels good.
But anyway. And
It's football weather,
yeah,
Tim.
It's time.
It's time.
We've
waited long enough.
Are there some games tonight?
Yes, college games. There's a bunch.
Yeah, getting started. Mm-hmm. The college season's getting started. By the way, I was reading one of our staff sent around this morning. It's a story on FaithWire. And it's about Dabo Swinney, who is the head football coach at Clemson University. And, of course, they're the reigning national champions. And Dabo Swinney said this. He says, I know what my purpose as a man is. To glorify God and be a great husband and father, and to use the game of football to equip young people for life. End of quote. And he also talked about, talking about serving Jesus in this article.
He's too. Pretty bold.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney. You know, I think Clemson's either number one or number two in most polls. Alabama,
right.
You see Alabama in one poll, Clemson in another, preseason polls, obviously. But, very impressed by Coach Swinney, who ironically is from Birmingham and played at the University of Alabama. But he is a wonderful Christian man and a leader. And, you know, it's uncanny, Ray, Fred, and Walker, how many times God uses these coaches and players who rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they rise to the top because they're a Christian necessarily, because there are a lot of Christians who, you know, go 5-5. Okay?
Right.
So that's not the reason necessarily, but I'm just talking about platforms that they use. I read a book recently on Albert Pujols, who many consider to be a top 10 player in Major League history. And the book was about his life. He's a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He even talked about how he heard a speaker one time, did Albert Pujols, he said, and he said, I started witnessing for Christ when I was a first baseman and guys got on base. he said, I had a captive audience.
That's right. Where are they going to go?
You know, you got what was the football coach, Tony Dungy?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Colts.
Huh?
Yeah, for the Colts.
Tony Dungy, Kurt Warner. You remember him? Just right. so many guys that God uses to get his word out who are involved in either amateur college athletics or although some would argue college is not amateur. I'm not going to get in.
Stretching the definitions.
Yeah, not going to get into that today. But just to say, just proud.
It's big business. It's big business.
It's
we
big
know that.
Business. Yeah. Bear Bryant, the legendary coach at Alabama, is famous for saying there. You know, some reporter was questioning him on whether or not, you know, football was being elevated over education at the University of Alabama. And his answer was, well, when you get 70,000 people to come watch a science class, then get back to me.
Good answer.
And I don't know if I got that exactly right, but that was the essence
of it. There's the spirit of it.
Yeah, of the Q&A. Anyway, so college football starts, it's already started, but it starts in earnest this weekend. All right, lots going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Fred?
Big news out of Washington at this hour. The Inspector General for the Justice Department, a man by the name of Michael Horowitz, has released the first of report on two of the investigations he's involved with right now. This one specifically deals with the former FBI director, James Comey. And even more specifically, the notes that then director of the FBI, James Comey, took when he went to have a meeting with the president, President Trump, in the early days of the Trump administration. Now, those notes that he took, which James Comey has described under testimony as kind of just private notes, part of my diary, and then arranged for them basically to be leaked to a reporter, although he put it through a friend first, who then leaked it to a reporter. Well, the Inspector General, the report on all that came out this morning, and James Comey doesn't look very good at all. I'm going to play you a bit of a report this morning from Catherine Herridge, who's of Fox News. She just was on the air a moment ago reading a portion of Michael Horowitz's report. So these are notes. Comey's over at the White House taking notes on this. He goes out to his car, continues to write notes, but then he even takes those notes home, keeps them at his house. So what he did, according to Michael Horowitz, is violate FBI department policy all over the place. Here's a little bit about what Catherine Herridge was reporting just a few moments ago. Cut 12.
He leaked some of those documents in order to kick. He leaked some of those documents in order to kickstart the special counsel investigation. Some of those memos contain classified information. So the question before the Inspector General was whether he had mishandled classified information. That would have been a violation of 18 U.S.C. 793F. In this section on page 52, there's a very important headline from the Inspector General. When Director Comey testified, he said he felt these memos were his personal recollections of recorded events. But this is an explanation which does not satisfy the Inspector General. He states, Comey's characterization of the memos as personal records, this is important, finds no support in the law and is wholly incompatible with the plain language of the statutes.
All right. In the report from Michael Horowitz, he goes on to say former Director Comey failed to live up to his responsibility by not safeguarding sensitive information obtained during the course of his FBI employment and by using it to create public pressure for official action. Comey set a dangerous example for the over 35,000 current FBI employees and the many thousands more former FBI employees who similarly have access to or knowledge of non-public information.
You know, this is so... The James Comey's out there tweeting now that, you know, I did nothing wrong and this IG report proves that I did nothing illegal. And I'm not even going to get into whether he did something illegal because I don't really know. Probably if the DOJ is not prosecuting him, maybe he did some things illegal, but maybe they don't think they can follow through with an indictment. But nonetheless, Comey's dirty. His whole record now of being an FBI director is tainted by what's clearly laid out here in the IG report that he violated multiple policies within the FBI as the FBI director. So how do you expect lower agents?
Did he apologize?
No.
No.
No, he's never, no. And that's the problem. He's been so arrogant about this that I've done nothing wrong and Trump is just after me, you know, out to get me.
No, he's out to get Trump.
He's out to get Trump, right. And he was as right. The FBI director. And he's not owned up to that, and that's the problem.
Right.
Well, he was playing fast and loose with the FBI regulations, and I think Walker's exactly right. The one thing the DOJ doesn't want to do is put out an indictment that they can't conclusively win in court. So at least we've got to say this, that James Comey's reputation and his legacy is tarnished now forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was a, by the way, if you're wondering, when we say IG, folks, this is
Inspector General.
Inspector General at the Justice Department. And for those who don't know what that is, if you've heard in the newspaper business, it used to be called an ombudsman. And that is somebody who's internal, who's meant to be an objective critic of said agency. Or an ombudsman would be a newspaper or a media outlet. So this general, well, he also has legal authority, mm-hmm. I think, doesn't he?
He can recommend.
Yeah, yes. Attorney General. Not Attorney General.
The Inspector General.
Inspector General. So what he's done is he's done an internal audit of this whole situation with James Comey, former FBI director, and found that he violated FBI policies. Yeah, I you know, with James Comey, you just wish you'd see a little bit more humility, a little bit more contriteness. With respect to this right here, I would just say, you know, I apologize for violating FBI policy in this respect, and I wish I wouldn't have done it or something to that effect. But he's not; he didn't do that yet.
No,
he was really cheeky in his response this morning. I'm talking about James Comey.
Yeah,
because here's what happened. So Comey has these notes. He's got this buddy he gives the notes to.
He's the FBI director.
Yes, with the understanding that his buddy was going to pass these along to a reporter.
It's his neighbor.
Yes. So here's what Comey says this morning.
Sounds like a third grade operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Comey says this morning, hey, you guys, the media there and his critics, you guys all said I gave it to the media. You see, I'm waiting for you to say sorry we lied about you.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
That's James
Comey.
Be
a man.
Right. James Comey.
Be a man. Own it. Okay? All right. So that's the first part of the has President Trump tweeted about this yet?
Yes.
Because if he isn't, it's going to come in the next 10 seconds.
We know that.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the first part of the
Inspector General.
Inspector General's report. There's part two coming out?
Part two is coming, and this may be more damning to the department, to FBI, because this one is going to deal with how do we get information, the whole Steele dossier, how that was used to take to the FISA court, to which the FISA court said, okay,
start spying on the
start
Trump
spying on the Trump administration
or the Trump campaign.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that I think is going to be more damning for the department.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We don't know when that's going to come out, right?
No. This one just caught us by surprise this morning, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Walker, are you going to be at a town hall meeting with Abraham Hamilton III?
That's right. In a couple of weeks here, September 19th, the date is September 19th, Abraham Hamilton III, myself, my brother Wesley Wildman, and a few others here from AFA, we're going to be in Fredericksburg, Virginia. This will be my first time to Fredericksburg, but we'll be in Fredericksburg, Virginia, September 19th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. for a town hall meeting. And I'll just go ahead and give you the website. You have to register, and on the website, of course, you'll have the address.
So it's free, but you got to register?
That's right. You need to register, and on the website, you'll find the address, the time, and all the information you need to come to the September 19th event in Fredericksburg, Virginia. afaaction.net/Fredericksburg.
Good night. You have to make it so hard to register?
if
you got to write that down and make sure your spelling's right and everything
that's
like
right.
that.
Yeah,
all right, go over that real slow for people in the South. Go ahead.
AFAaction.net. You got that?
Hold on. AFAaction.net. Okay.
/.
Is that like that right there? Mm-hmm. Is that a /?
That's good.
Okay.
Fredericksburg.
Spell that
for me. Thankfully, we have autocorrect.
Spell Fredericksburg.
F-R-E-D, like Fred.
Fred.
F-R-E-D-E-R.
E-R.
I-C-K.
I-C-K.
S.
S
B U R G.
B U R G. Dot what? Is there
That's
a
it.
Dot
That's
after
it.
That? Okay.
That's it.
AFAaction.net/Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. So the event is free. You and Abe Hamilton and Wesley Wildman and
Rob Chambers.
Rob Chambers, you're all going to be there.
That's right.
At this town hall. And it's free, but you have to register.
Correct.
At that
website.
That eternal address.
Yes.
That's good.
All right. AFAaction.net/Fredericksburg. We have a lot of folks who live in Virginia who listen to American Family Radio. Probably want to meet you and Abe and the gang. So plan on being there. That's when?
September 19th.
September the 19th. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. If you want to join us on the web today, go to Facebook or YouTube. Facebook or YouTube, we live video stream the show, and we also post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. So you can listen and engage with other listeners there at our Facebook or YouTube. Just type in today's issues, and we welcome you to join us there. And Brent usually greets everybody and says good morning. Did you do that again this morning, Brent?
I did.
You did? Wonderful. All right, Fred, next story.
Just before I go to the next story, you can go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com, okay, and get more details on the Inspector General's report released this morning. All right, from Washington, we go down to the Caribbean and the Atlantic Ocean specifically. And Hurricane Dorian, it is now a hurricane. It was a storm when it first arrived in that eastern part of the Caribbean there. The Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico kind of escaped without too much damage. But now Dorian has turned into a Cat 1. And the news this morning is the track that this storm is now heading takes it to the central Florida eastern coast. And they are now predicting it could be a Category 3 hurricane by the time it gets there late Sunday evening, early Monday morning. That's pretty serious. Category 3 hurricane.
That appears to me, if you're, I'm looking at the computer model from one of the weather agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the National Hurricane Center. Anyway, the track they have it on, as you say, has it making landfall middle of the afternoon on Monday on the central coast.
Great.
Of
Titusville.
Of Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is... That's probably 50, 60, 70 miles, Ray, from Orlando.
Right.
Is where it looks like it's going to head right for. So, of course, that's a big entertainment center for the country.
Brent is just telling us the latest projection is it's going to be a Cat 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll close all the theme parks then down there. You know, I was reading where Disney World has only been closed like 4 times over the last 30 years, and
right,
3 of them were hurricane related. I think they did close after 9/11 for a day.
You know, Tim, you like to ask me where I'm going.
Yeah.
Well, next Monday, I'm flying into Central Florida to teach the Book of Galatians at Word of Life Bible Institute. It's right in the middle, right?
No, you're not, Ray.
I got news for you, brother.
Unless you want to go with Pat Robertson.
I may
fly in on Sunday. So if you guys, for our listeners, if you see a video of me floating down the road riding on an alligator next week, that's probably not a good sign.
Oh, my word. Are you talking about really in Central Florida? You're supposed to be there? Okay.
Right, well, just north of Tampa.
Have you heard from your – obviously you haven't heard from your host down there if they're going to postpone or cancel?
They've called me a couple times, and they're saying, come on, so we'll see.
Okay.
We have a station – our only station in Florida is in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Our Jacksonville beach right beside
each other.
That's
up the beach a little bit. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be affected that much. But, wow, I mean, you're talking, the projection I'm looking at almost takes it right over the top of Orlando.
Right.
And the Space Coast and all in there.
Right.
And you know, some of the, I was watching Fox yesterday, and one of their chief meteorologists said that this could, you know, they always outline the worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
But this could go over Central Florida mainland, then jump back in or jump into then the Gulf.
Right.
Yeah, thank you for that happy news, Walker.
And then continue on.
Yeah, and give us a double.
Come into Mississippi for all we know.
A double whammy.
A double whammy.
I'm not sure if that's ever happened yet or not, but
well,
it could.
These are the days Jim Cantore lives for.
That's right.
Huh? He was born for this.
Jim Cantore shows up in your town, you should have left 24 hours.
He's at the Weather Channel, right?
Yeah, he's the muscle-bound Weather Channel that stands out.
He showed up here in Tupelo a couple times.
Yeah, he did. But he isn't the only one, but these guys who stand out in hurricane force winds to show you what they're like. You know, it's a wonder if more projectiles don't hit these guys. That's what I always worry about, you know, not whether they can stand up and hold a pole at the wind going 70 miles an hour. It's that here comes a 2x4.
Well, and they put their guys, or gals as it is, right on the beach, you know. So you got the waves, you got the wind, you got the debris.
It's dry drama. Hey, I fall for it. Come Sunday, I'll start watching the Weather Channel, getting ready for gym.
That's right.
You know, and so.
Leaning 45 degrees.
That's right.
Got to have that shot.
But you can't fake it. It needs to be genuine. I know, but without getting made fun of.
I know.
That's right.
Do you remember last year?
Yeah.
There was a hurricane, and it was the Weather Channel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I know.
And they had the Weather Channel reporter. And he is just, man, he's fighting to stand up. It's all he can do to stand up in the wind. And he's giving it his all to report live. And then behind him, about 20 yards, are these two people walking their dog.
Right.
I remember that.
Maybe they weren't walking their dog, but they were on a leisurely walk, and they're looking over at this Weather Channel dude going, what in the world are you doing?
I didn't hear it right.
I'll have to look
I'm barely able to stand up. And these guys are throwing frisbee over there behind him. Oh, that was hilarious.
That wasn't a great moment for that.
No, it really was. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, you know, you guys were talking about this is football season, and a lot of players don't make the cut, as they say.
Oh, yeah. In the pro ranks, you mean?
In the pro ranks. But it happens to some Democrats, too.
I didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut.
Pro ranks, no. I saw I'm one of them.
No.
But go ahead.
But as of midnight last night, there are a bunch of Democrats who would like to be president of the United States who didn't make the cut for the next Democrat debate, which is coming up in a couple of weeks.
So sorry.
And that would include people like Montana Governor Steve Bullock. And Marianne Williamson and Tulsi Gabbard.
Marianne Williamson didn't make it?
Did not make the cut. Neither did Kirsten Gillibrand, who immediately also announced that she's getting out of the race after people gave her $4 million paid for ads to try to make sure she made it into the debate.
Okay.
So the Democratic Party, basically what they've done for this particular debate, you had to get 2% or more in the polls. And they selected which polls it were. And I think you had to have 130,000 donors or something like that. And so these are the folks. So the others who didn't make
it. So the marginalized little people don't need to apply.
That's right. Don't need to apply. Right now.
Only if you got big money and big support can you the Democrats get behind you. Is that what you're saying, Fred?
That's what I'm saying, yep.
Seems rather discriminatory to me.
Yep.
Huh?
So the next debate will have 10 on the stage. So instead of over two nights, just one night, 10 on the stage.
That's worse. Huh?
Won't hold your attention.
They need to keep dividing them up. Five one night, five the next. 10. I remember when the Republicans did that. You remember when they did that?
Yeah.
When there were like 12 on the stage? You don't have time to say anything hardly.
Right. No.
But whoever was doing that debate, they knew what they were doing because they put Donald Trump front and center. You remember that?
Right.
That's right.
They knew where the ratings were coming from,
and he stayed there.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. If you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We're going to take a short break and be back with more here on American Family Radio.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the... called the Jeep.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. And when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
In God We Trust, that story next. Todd Starnes here. You know, America is facing dangers of socialism and secularism every day, and we need young people who stand for freedom. At Liberty University, they're training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders who will be on the front lines of this culture war. Professors teach their students about free enterprise, individual freedom, and the Constitution from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So join Liberty University in training the conservative leaders of tomorrow. Text GIVE to 839-858 today. The state of South Dakota puts their trust in God, so much so they made it the law. Every public school in the state is now required to prominently display the motto, In God We Trust. South Dakota lawmakers say the law is meant to inspire patriotism in public schools, something we could use a whole lot more of these days. In God We Trust became the nation's official motto back in 1956, first appeared on our money the following year. As you might imagine, there was some pushback. The Freedom From Religion Foundation said it was a terrible violation of conscience. They accused lawmakers of inflicting a godly message on children. Oh, the horror. And a group of students from Stevens High School suggested an alternative version, including the names of Buddha and Allah. But the reality is, our nation was not founded under Buddha or Allah. It was founded under God, the Judeo-Christian God. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News Commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. So, Walker, you put that, Brent put that.
I found a Breitbart story on the Weather Channel reporter that.
From last year.
Yeah, this was Hurricane Florence in North Carolina. And we were watching it during the break, and this reporter, Mike Sedell, yeah, with the Weather Channel, he was leaning into the wind,
barely able to stand up.
And bracing and rocking back and forth. And then about 15 seconds later, two guys in shorts and tennis shoes
are just strolling
down the sidewalk behind him, talking on the phone.
who knows? The wind tunnel may have been bad right where he was.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is the Weather Channel depends on the high drama.
Yeah, you got to have a little drama to make it
interesting. That's why we watch it.
Yeah. So, Ray Pritchard's with us, Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson. I'm Tim Wildman. And on Thursdays, most Thursdays, we have our good friend Jan Markell on for a few moments. And Jan joins us from the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Good morning, Jan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jan is president of Olive Tree Ministries, and she's the host of Understanding the Times Radio, which is featured on the weekends here, Saturday and Sunday, here on American Family Radio. And what's the weather like today? And it's probably getting nice up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit fall-like up here, and the leaves are starting to turn. Of course, they turn in June down up here. So
I'm glad she said that.
Oh, that's good.
This is hostile country.
The leaves of summer last a month. The leaves of August turning. All right, Fred, what question do you have, or what topic do you have?
Good morning, Jan. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks, Fred.
Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany is meeting today in Berlin with the head of the Palestinians, President Mahmoud Abbas. And ahead of this meeting, this is what she had to say. She says she believes, and Germany believes, in a two-state solution for Israelis and Palestinians. And she says it's the only way for both peoples, and I'm quoting her here, to live in peace and security, end quote. And I have to wonder whether the chancellor ever turns on the TV and watches what happens.
I know.
On a pretty regular, especially in the last 10 days.
Right.
Israel's neighbors are not known to want to live in peace and tranquility with Israel. But why does she make these kinds of statements? And furthermore, this story from the Associated Press also says in 2018, last year, Germany alone gave the Palestinians $121.8 million. And we hear all the time about the poverty in the West Bank.
Well, you know right off the bat that money is abused. It's used for terror. It's used to glorify terrorists. And it's never used to improve the life of the Palestinian people. And that's what is tragic, because there are a lot of Palestinian people, and some of them are Christians, not a lot, but some are, that we'd like to see their lives improved. I think we need to keep in mind, Fred, that Europe is, and her leaders, Macron, Merkel, others, are godless people. I mean, Europe, it's so sad. Europe threw God out probably 6 decades ago and wanted nothing to, and there's a little remnant of a church, but so tiny, didn't want anything to do with God, starting somewhere in the, probably before I was paying attention, but at least 60 years ago. And this is the result, because whenever anybody throws God out, including Americans, he turns them over to kind of a depraved mind, Romans 1, and they can't think straight, and they can't understand that. And you just said it all when you said, you know, you implied, well, the Palestinians don't really even want a two-state solution. They want the destruction of Israel. And that's what, and that's in the Bible, Psalm 83. So they just, but they can't see with spiritual eyes over there. They can't.
No,
yeah.
They can't.
Well, now that's not the first time a two-state solution's been
proposed.
No.
That goes back to American presidents.
Well, you go back to President Carter. You go back to President Clinton. You're back to the days of Arafat. What was the Camp David Accords? They gave the Palestinians what, 99% of what they wanted, and they turned it down.
I will never forget that. That was in 2000, in under Bill Clinton, and that's exactly what happened. Is Bill Clinton and I believe it was, I'm not sure who the prime. Ehud Barak, B-A-R-A-K, offered the Palestinians, I believe it was either 95 or 99% of what they asked for. In other words, the kitchen and the kitchen sink. I think they withheld one item. And they walked away. Arafat walked away and said, I'm going to go make war, because that's what's on their mind. They want the destruction of Israel. They don't want peace. They don't want treaties. Well, they want Israel's destruction.
You remember when Arafat died?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then it was discovered all the millions and millions of dollars that was in that Swiss bank account.
Yep.
That's right.
And so it doesn't behoove the leaders of Hamas, for example, or in this case, it's the leader of Abbas, who's not Hamas, but isn't, anyway, to make peace with Israel.
No.
And so what happens is this money, these millions of dollars, that's just German money right there. That doesn't include American
money
or others.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a Palestinian Christian tour guide who we used for years and years. He died 3 or 4 years ago. He was in his mid 70s when he passed, but he told me that, you know, if Arafat and the Palestinian leadership there, and he himself was an Arab, now he wasn't a Muslim, but he grew up in the West Bank. He said they just squandered and stole the money.
That's right.
That's
so,
right.
So he said if they had used all this money that the world had sent them to better the lives of Palestinian people, you know, then it'd have been well used. But instead, it just went to line the pockets of, as Jan just talking about, of the terrorist. And Jan, I wanted to give you an opportunity before we let you go to talk about your conference. When is it, and what's going to be the theme?
Well, thank you. Our Understanding the Times conference. And look, we are just so pleased that so many American Family Radio people journey to the Twin Cities every fall. This year, it's Saturday, September 21st, with Dr. Jeffress, with Amir Sarfati, J.D. Farag, Jack Hibbs, yours true, just a whole lineup of folks that AFR people love to meet. And tickets are going, but we still have them for $25. That includes a lunch. You know, call us or go to olivetreeviews.org. And we're live streaming it free. Just go to our website that day, September 21st, olivetreeviews.org, and everything will be on your computer. So, and Fred's coming. That's what's most exciting.
Yeah, Fred will be there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Back for the second year, yeah.
September 21st in, where is it in Minnesota?
Eden Prairie, Minnesota, suburb of Minneapolis.
Okay, September 21st. And where to go to register?
Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. And you'll be directed to where you get your tickets.
And you said
there are some left. We have about 5,000 tickets that we're selling.
And you said that $25 includes lunch catered by
lunch.
Olive Garden? That's what you said?
Well,
that would fit.
We got a lunch that's just as good as if Olive Garden were preparing it.
Okay. Olive Garden catering the Olive Tree Conference.
There you go.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Jan Markell joining us from Chile, Minnesota.
I remember I went about this time last year to a conference September, and I'm glad I took a jacket and cap. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You don't have any, do you do any speaking in Minnesota, Ray?
No, I've only traveled through a couple of times. Lovely state. Beautiful country.
You know, it's the friendliest state in the country. You know that,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
You see that?
According to the latest survey, yeah.
That's Minnesota, right. Nice. All right. Well, joining us now is Dr. Alex McFarland. Heard each afternoon on Exploring the Word with Brother Bert Harper. And at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Central Time, they have a live on-air Bible study here on AFR. How you doing, Alex? You know, he gets this way every once in a while. Have you noticed? He just sort of gives you the silent treatment.
Hey, Alex, you there?
I'm here.
There,
can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can
hear
you, brother.
He just wanted to talk to me.
Oh, is that what it was?
Hey, Alex.
Oh, he's ignoring. It's me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing great. How's everybody?
Where are you today, sir?
I am back home in North Carolina after having spoken at a pastor's conference in Florida.
In Florida? Got out of Florida just in time, I guess. The hurricane on the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
And what was your topic?
Well, you know, I did 3 hours on apologetics and Christian worldview and then a Q&A, but the main thing that everybody was talking about was this study that came out a few days ago talking about kind of a precipitous drop in patriotism, belief in God, and the importance of family among millennials and younger, and I'm sure y'all have seen it, but, you know, three things. It's interesting. Even sociologists and legal experts and historians are expressing concern that, you know, family, marriage, childbearing, God, church attendance, and even patriotism have been dropping. And I think we've known this, those of us that are involved in youth ministry and youth culture. And, you know, Tim, I remember probably 15 years ago plus how even some ministers would kind of say, hey, Alex, you know, you and Josh McDowell and Dr. Dobson, chill out. You know, you guys are kind of alarmist. But we weren't alarmist. Things that we were very concerned about years ago are really coming to fruition because, well, I think there's several factors, but suddenly people are saying, wait a minute, God, family, and patriotism, we lose those, we lose it all.
So, Alex, go a little deeper, if you would, into what happened to the millennial generation where you suddenly see this I think, frightening drop-off in spiritual interest, church attendance, reading the Bible, anything to do with the Christian faith. What has happened?
Well, you know, a big part of the blame for where we are as a country, I lay on the doorstep of secular education. And there's a lot we could talk about, you know, Hollywood and an entertainment industry that mocks everything good and true and noble and godly. And there's a lot we could say about the schools. I would say, you know, having myself, by God's grace, spoken at more than 200 universities, 50% plus of which have been secular universities, that Ben Shapiro is right. I interviewed Ben Shapiro on the radio a decade ago. Ben Shapiro said college in America has become a four-year attack on America and God. Ravi Zacharias said college is 4 years and $100,000 to learn that you can't know anything. So a big part of where we are is due to militant secularism. But the thing that has really started all the dominoes falling, and the thing that I pray for God to restore, has been the state of the family. A lot of young people really don't trust leaders, and they've got a very flawed view of the Heavenly Father because they've had negative experiences with an earthly father, and divorce and abandonment, feelings of loneliness and alienation and abandonment have been the emotional, you know, starting point for so many young lives because of the breakdown of the family. And, you know, I say if there's any one thing that I would ask God for, it would be the restoration of the American home.
Alex, it's Fred here, and you're kind of leading in the direction of my question. We got parents that are listening right now, and, you know, those quotes that you just gave about what happens when your kid goes off to university. How do you prepare your kids to fight against that kind of culture?
Well, great question, Fred. Thank you. You know, there's a seminar that I've done all over the country called What You'll Hear Your Freshman Year, Preparing for the Ways That College Will Challenge Your Faith, and wrote a book called Stand Strong in College. And I want to say this, moms and dads, listen, I know you've dreamed of sending your child to your alma mater, but, you know, I would say that 4 years of college can unravel what you've worked 18 years to instill if your child doesn't have a solid biblical worldview. And so, you know, that's why I believe in Christian education. You know, really pray about, you know, where you send your child to school, because so many universities, and I'm not bashing education is very necessary, but so much of education is hostile to God, hostile to America. And, you know, unless your child is really solidly grounded in the Christian faith, there are intellectual challenges and there are social temptations at universities. So think about, you know, a Christian college for your kids. But beyond that, you know, I've got to say, within the home, you know, moms and dads, look, we've got to really make sure that Jesus Christ is the priority in our heart, in our marriages, and in our family. And, you know, our Christianity has got to be more than 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning.
I want to ask you, Alex, related to what we're talking about here, and where's this the story about the folks? What we're talking about is this Wall Street Journal NBC News poll that came out where it talks about Generation Z and millennials, mm-hmm, and Generation X. Now, I don't know, what's Z?
Well, you know, Z is, nothing comes after the last letter of the alphabet. And so sociologists are using the term Gen Z, okay, because after this, there's not going to be any quantifiable thing. You know, boomers had some attributes that they were known by. And, you know, Gen X and baby busters, and, you know, they're using the terminology Gen Z because after this, it's just going to be, you know, nothing really quantifiable.
The report said this was 1,000 adults, younger generation, and the report found, quote, younger generations rate patriotism, religion, and having children as less important to them than did young people two decades ago, end of quote. I wonder, Alex, and Ray, you want to comment on this as well? I don't want to get too philosophical here, but and I certainly I believe in God, and I believe in hope, and I believe in the gospel is able to change people and change cultures. However, I have to say, if you step back and look at world history, Alex, are we living in a time where what happens in Europe, we've seen what's happened in Europe, which is where Christianity came from, right, and spread around at least to North America.
Right? Since the Reformation in 1517, yes. We trace our spiritual roots to Europe, yes.
Okay. And of course, the gospel spread from the Holy Land up all through Europe, more than anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say. And then it came to North America with our founding fathers and with all those immigrants who came over and brought their Christianity with them, both the Protestant and the Catholic churches, but mostly Protestant. And the influence that Protestant Christianity had on America. And now we see that waning, okay? We see the influence of that waning by and I think this survey only says what we kind of all knew anyway. Maybe we're living, Alex, in a moment of history where there's I don't know how to say this, that's outside of a third great awakening type revival in America, you know, the trends are going to continue to go this direction.
Yeah, we may be.
Well, that's hopeful, isn't it? Call me Captain Sunshine.
Especially with the wiring of the planet. And you know, let me just say this. There's always been sin and darkness. But two things, the wiring of the planet. I mean, we do live in a time where there can be global surveillance. And you read the book of Revelation and, you know, part of the Antichrist's, you know, control of the planet involves technology that seems similar to what we're looking at today. The other thing is there is now, with the gay agenda and the enforcement, let me say, the enforcement of the gay, lesbian, transgender redefinition of sexuality and humanity, there's this global, worldwide abolition of any moral boundaries. But hey, I got to throw something in here. You were talking about how our founding fathers came from Europe and brought Christianity, and they did. Periodically, you know, atheists will say, well, you know, the founders weren't Christian. The birth of America was not Christian, like David Barton and Bill Federer and all of you all say. Yes, it is. I want to say this. I have visited at least one cemetery in the lower 48 states, and it's interesting to me. 90% of all the gravestones in cemeteries, if you look at graves from the 1700s and 1800s, there's like 90% have a Bible verse on them. Once in a while, there'll be a headstone with no, you know, spiritual reference, or maybe there's the Star of David, a Jewish person. But in the cemeteries, and I've been all over the country, I mean, you speak in 2,000 churches, you get to see a lot of things. I started to take note of all the gravestones from the 1700s and 1800s and the early 20th century, like 90% have a Bible verse. They don't quote Henry David Thoreau, and they don't quote Walt Whitman or Voltaire. That 90% plus of all the old graveyards, they're just replete with Bible verses. Clearly, the founding of our country was overtly Christian. And I think that, you know, all these gravestones that cite the scriptures or reference Jesus or the blessed hope, you know, we clearly were a Christian culture. That was the secret to our vitality and greatness and purity. Yeah. And we've got to recover it or we're going to lose it all.
You know, Alex, in just a moment ago, Tim said, it seems like we need a third great awakening here in America.
Amen.
Is it possible, or have we gone too far? Could there be a third great awakening yet to come?
It is absolutely possible. And, you know, as Philip Yancey of Christianity Today said, God goes where he's wanted. Charles Finney, somebody said, when are we going to have a revival? Finney said, as soon as you want it. And somebody said, well, are you kidding? Of course we want it. Finney said, do you want it badly enough to get up before sunrise and fast and pray and beg God for the souls of your children and the souls of your neighbor? So yes, absolutely, 1,000% yes, we can have a third great awakening. And I think we pray, but here's one of the keys, folks, to a visitation from God: unity within the body of Christ, John 17:21. The body needs the body. And whether you sleep in the pews or jump over them, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, and yes, there's a growing remnant of born-again Catholics. Look, if you're a Jesus person, we're family and we need each other. And let's link arms and pray and seek God for a great visitation of the Holy Spirit.
Alex, thanks so much, my brother. Appreciate you being on with us today.
God bless you all. Thanks.
Okay, good words to end on right there in our conversation with Alex. You want to hear more of Alex? Every afternoon, Monday through Friday, he's on with Brother Bert at 3 o'clock Central Time. And they have a live call-in Bible study program. So it's unique. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
We are coming up on... we got a couple minutes left here. What do you got?
You know, you have often said, Tim, elections have consequences.
Right.
And we're starting, or continuing to see the consequences of the 2016 election. And here's a headline that we can celebrate. Veteran Affairs has lifted the ban on Bibles that's in their hospitals in a move to support religious freedom.
Hmm.
Now, you imagine, we went through a period in this country where if it was federal property, we don't want any Bibles there.
It was the Obama administration.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But now that is changing. And how important that is. We need the Bible everywhere. But when you talk about a hospital where people are going through a tough time, and usually when you're talking veteran affairs, you're talking serious diseases, some serious problems, medical problems. What better place than to have a Bible by your bedstand that you can read? And so this is absolutely terrific news that the Veteran Affairs is lifting that ban that was put in place.
Right. Veteran Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie, he's the one who made this directive, I guess it is, and he's saying that the VA now will permit religious literature, symbols, and displays at agency facilities following a string of incidents in recent years which individual medical centers banned Christmas carols and Christmas trees and chapels. The Obama administration was very hostile, particularly to Christianity, in many ways that we can document and have been documented. And the Trump administration is trying to reverse those. Some of those decisions that were signs of that hostility.
Now, if we could just get Gideon Bibles back given to grade 5 kids in schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a, does that even happen anywhere anymore? I don't know.
It's been a long time.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with more of today's issues. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.